You may be seated. Bibles and turn to the book of Jonah, where we'll be reading verses 1 to 3 of chapter 1. But our sermon focus this morning will primarily be on Jonah chapter 1, verse 3. Under the title, "Not Me, Lord, Not Me." Jonah chapter 3, verses 1 to 3. This is the word of the Lord written to you, His people, with the intention that you hear it, understand it, and obey it. Now, the son of Amittai saying, "Arise, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Let us pray. Father God, anoint the preaching of your word with your Holy Spirit, that you would use it, Lord, to make your people holy, that you would use it, Lord, to cause us to not say, "Not me, Lord," but to say, "Yes, Lord." We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Well, as we read verse 3, and if you remember back to verses 1 and 2, we see that this is a major contrast to verse 1. So verse 1 tells us, if you remember, how the word of the Lord came to Jonah, implying that the Lord himself came to Jonah with a word to him. That's what happened. And now we see here in verse 3 the exact action. As the Lord came to Jonah, Jonah sought to flee from the Lord coming to him, to flee from the Lord's presence. Now, this is not someone telling us about. This is Jonah telling us about Jonah and what Jonah did, and he knows firsthand exactly what he did. And we can be thankful for this book and for Jonah for being unfolded in his relationship to the Lord. And I would say to you that there's an old saying that we sometimes use, that sometimes you have to call a spade a spade. And that's what Jonah is doing here in verse 3. He's saying, "Look, this is what I did. And it's pretty simple. I sought to flee from the presence of the Lord." That's not real hard to understand. He's calling a spade. In this sense, a shot. You don't need a lot of eloquent explanations to get Jonah's point here that he was in rebellion against the Lord. There's no reason to think of higher words, more clever words to describe it. Because he says it here even twice. Verse 3 tells us that Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He does not mince any words here. He does not even try to give any explanation for it. He fled from the Lord. And the rest thought he could flee from God's presence. How he thought he could. But as we've read or sung in Psalm 139, we know that you cannot. The Lord told Jonah to rise and preach to them. Jonah decided to rise up and go to Tarshish and not preach to the Ninevites. Just as Peter said the first time to the Lord in that vision, "Not so, Lord," Jonah said to God, "No, not me, Lord. I will not do this." And what would you call that? We wouldn't call it anything but face-to-face direct rebellion against the Word of God and against the Lord Himself. We know what to call it because we all know this by experience. This is not just a theory or a sermon that we're hearing about somebody else's life. We know that in our own life, there have been times when we said, "No, Lord, not me, not so." And so the Lord story, this true story, this true life event, to teach us to say, "Yes, Lord." Because to say anything different, you might as well scratch out the word Lord. Because if you can say no to the Lord, then you're not even talking to the Lord. Because with that name comes authority over your life. And so what the Lord is calling Jonah to do practically, particularly, is just a manifestation of the Lord's authority over his life. But the principle applies to everything that the Lord calls us to do. Everything. That we are to say yes to him. Yes to whatever he calls us to do in his word. To say yes even though we may not think it will accomplish anything or that it will go well. To say yes to the Lord though it may bring suffering or difficulty and challenges and trials. To say yes that he regardless of what we think will be the consequences or the outcome. We are to say, "Yes, Lord," because he is Lord. Jonah writes an honest account of his rebellion against God so that we will not follow his footsteps to this point. And so what we're going to see in Jonah, chapter 1, verse 3, we're going to see what Jonah did was a perversion. And we'll say Jonah's perversion. We'll also see God's providence here in verse 3. And our provision. Jonah's perversion, God's providence, and our provision. So first, Jonah's perversion. And to say that Jonah's acts as he sought to flee from the Lord is perverted is to say that Jonah was going against all of God's good design. To hear the word of the Lord from the Lord, to know exactly what to do, when to do it, where to do it, and what unequivocally say to him, "Not me, Lord," to flee from his presence, which is to reject his instructions and his calling, is a perversion. Before it says to the one who is speaking to me, "I'm not going to recognize." To pervert from its original design or its original course or meaning. So what is it that Jonah has perverted in his decision to rise? We may come up with a lot of answers to this, and there may be various answers. But the main answer is that Jonah is perverting God's authority over the whole earth, over all things in the world. Anytime we deny God's authority over the whole earth, we deny his design and his purpose, and we deny his authority over us. And then we become, or seek to become, the authority. That's idolatry. And you might boil it down here. It was Jonah's response to God. Was not something that we are just hearing about in somebody else's life. We know that's in our life as well. It is in our life. "Lord, not so, Lord, not according to your word. I'm going to live this way for the moment." And that's idolatry. And it is sin. And in Jonah's fleeing from the Lord, he was telling God, "You may be gracious to Nineveh." In fact, we know later on that Jonah knew that he would be. And he knew he was saying to the Lord, "You won't use me to do it." Jonah was saying, "I am the Lord of me, and I will not be used to show grace to such a nation as Nineveh." Such a nation that is, as Peter was thinking, unclean. In verse 1, The Lord came to Jonah, spoke to him. In verse 2, he speaks of the wickedness of Nineveh coming up before the Lord. And now here in verse 3, the Scriptures speak to us of the wickedness of Jonah coming up before the Lord. And what is more wicked? A great city like Nineveh, who doesn't know their left hand from their right, who's ignorant, or somebody who knows the Lord and says to the Lord, "Not me, Lord. You're not going to use me." And remember, Jonah is giving us this firsthand picture and story of his perversion of the order of things, that God is Lord over all, and that calls his people to obey him unquestionably, without question. Not without knowledge, but without question, without what he is doing is right, or whether or not what he is doing will bring about the result that we want to see. Jonah didn't want to see the results that God wanted to see. So much so was he in direct rebellion to God's face and to God's presence, and saying, not only does he say it once in Jonah chapter 1 verse 3, but he says it twice. Look at verse 3. "But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." And then it tells us, so he paid the fare, went down into the ship to go with them to Tarshish for the purpose of fleeing from the presence of the Lord. This is Jonah's testimony, firsthand testimony of his perversion of God's design for the world, for Nineveh, and for his own life. Jonah was seeking to be outside of, not under the influence of, not in any way for God's purposes. He knew that he could not really flee from God's presence. And Jonah is very much like the man who Jesus talked about, who hears his words and builds his house on the sand. And when the storm comes, his house comes crashing down. He's foolish in that he has perverted God's design and God's word, perverting God's order of things. And the order is, the structure of this whole universe is that God is Lord of all, and he is over all. And that's how God calls us to live, within that mindset. Not the mindset that the world live, and that is, believe in your God, believe that he is king, believe that he is Lord over all, as long as you keep it within your life and keep it within your church. But the Lord is not just Lord over the church. He is Lord over all. He is Lord over the world. He is Lord over Nineveh. He is Lord over Columbia. He is Lord over you and me. He is Lord over those who do not obey him. He is Lord over those who do not even believe in him. He is still Lord over them. And he was Lord over Jonah as well. And so Jonah, in his response to God, was perverting God's design for all things, for all authority in all the earth. And though he knew he could not flee God's presence, he was seeking to flee being used by God, which is sometimes the practice of Christians as well, of us as well. We know we cannot flee God's presence. Wherever we go, he will be there. But we seek sometimes, by removing ourselves from the Word of God or from the church or from God's influence upon us, if we can physically remove ourselves like Jonah was trying to do, we think, I can remove myself from God using me in a certain way or influencing me a certain way. And so Jonah continues in this perversion of God's truth and God's will for his life. And as we'll see in later parts of this passage in this story, he could not flee any more from the presence of the Lord than you or I can. What was true for Jonah, what was true for David, is also true for God's people today, or any person for that matter. Sought as he might, he would not be able to flee from God's presence or God's authority. God is not just in authority when you agree with him. Every single moment, over every single person, and over every single element of this universe, God is in authority over. One might think that as soon as Jonah arose to go to Tarshish, that the Lord, who is in authority and has power over all things, that he might and called him back to Nineveh. But God doesn't do this. God uses means, and he has plans that go beyond our sight and our understanding. He could have made it so there was no ship to go to Tarshish. He could have made it so that these ships that were common there in Joppa, traveling across the sea, that there was no room for any passengers. How hard would that have been for God to do, to stop Jonah? To stop Jonah and say, well, it looks like in God's providence, even though I have rejected the Lord and I'm trying to flee from his presence, looks like he's trying to get my attention. And we know eventually he will get Jonah's attention. But in his authority over all things, he provides for Jonah a way to make him think that he is fleeing from God's presence. But God has greater plans. Jonah is not going to pervert God's plans, though he seeks to do so. Though he sought to pervert the Lord's way, which was through the preaching of God's word to a city, and though he sought to prevent the authority of the Lord and the forgiveness and mercy of the Lord to come upon a nation, though he sought, he could not do it. And in God's providence, and as we shall see in future weeks, Lord willing, the Lord would bring him back. And so that's our second thing we want to see in God's providence. God will often allow one thing in our lives, or some things in our lives, even our rebellion, in order to accomplish a greater thing in your life and the lives of others. We only have to go to that well-known story of Joseph to see that. The sin of his brothers selling him into slavery for their hatred of him, and how God used their sin and their wickedness to preserve a nation later. And God is allowing Jonah to find a boat that is leaving Joppa. He's allowing Jonah to find rest in the boat, some sort of temporary peace, all while he is in rebellion against God. And God is using these means, his means of providence, to work in what would be working in Jonah's life later, but also in your life today. Because you look at this passage and you use this passage because the same thing happened to Jesus. Wicked men opposed him, arrested him, falsely accused him, nailed him. And what were they thinking all this time? We are doing the work of God. They thought the work of God was to stop Jesus. But all the while, God in his providence was using their wicked deeds to put Jesus on a cross, like he would put Noah or Jonah in the belly of a great fish that we'll see later. I imagine Jonah, when he went down to that port city of Joppa, he found a ship that was going to Tarshish, and he found passage on that ship. And even once he got on that ship, he found a place to rest. And why did he rest? Because he thought he had fled from the presence of the Lord. But in God's providence, God was using these things in Jonah's life, even his wickedness, his steps to fleeing from the Lord, And not only in Jonah's life, but he would use them in the life of the Ninevites. He would use them in the life of the Jews, as Jesus would use this depiction of Jonah to speak to them, not only of his resurrection and his death, but also of the Ninevites believing and also rising up in judgment against the Jews of Jesus' day, because they repented. The Ninevites did, and the Jews would not. And so in God's His purpose, which will not be perverted. And so I say these things to you so that you will say, yes, Lord. You're not going to stop the purpose of the Lord by whatever means you might take to try and avoid the Lord's call upon your life. God did not stop Jonah in his tracks because he was going to use those tracks to work in our life. How many thousands of years later? How many thousands or hundreds of thousands or millions of Christians have looked at the book of Jonah to see that we are to say, yes, Lord, simply because of the steps that Jonah took in seeking to pervert God's way and God's will? When Jesus said in Matthew 12, there is one greater than Jonah here, he was not saying, I'm a greater preacher than Jonah. He's not saying, I'm going to turn more people to God. Jonah did with the Ninevites. Why was Jesus greater than Jonah? As Jesus said, I came to do my Father's will. I came to do my Father's will. I did not come to pervert it. Of course, he was greater than Jonah because he was the God-man. He was God. But it was also his obedience that we see, comparatively speaking, to Jonah. His obedience led to the cross. It was Jonah's disobedience that led to the belly of the great fish. And so Jonah was used by God, even though through his rebellion, he was seeking to escape God. Jesus was saying, I am to his word, and in my holiness, one greater than Jonah is here. One who is in perfect obedience to the Lord, one who has not perverted his ways, one who is obedient even to death on the cross. Every detail in verse 3 that we see here so far is a narration by the man who is doing it with a detailed explanation, who perversely thinks he is outsmarting God. And I want to tell you that when we sin and when we rebel against the word of the Lord, we too think we are outsmarting God, and we are perverse in that thinking. We are going against the design and the decree and the will of God, and we are foolish in thinking that we will succeed or outsmart God. This is an autobiography here of Jonah. And we are reading about God's grace, which cannot be thwarted by anyone. God's grace is greater than Jonah's sin, and it's greater than our sin as well. Which brings us then to another aspect of Jonah saying, not me, Lord, when he sought to fled the presence of the Lord. Now the whole story of Jonah is oftentimes trivialized either as a myth or a metaphor to try and teach us something, or a children's story, or a cartoon, which minimizes the impact of this story, of this actual event. Because this is really serious. What we have here throughout the book of Jonah is someone who is trying to thwart God's purpose of grace to other people. One who is taking authority, seemingly, of his own life in opposition to God's authority. And so in this account of Jonah, we have our provision. We are being provided for here. We are being provided a very strong lesson for us to learn. And that is that God is King and Lord over all things. And you may say, well, I've heard that message 100 times. I know that principle. So did Peter. But that account of Peter in Acts chapter 10 was not the first time that Peter said, not so, is it? It's not the first time he looked the Lord in the face and said, "Not so, Lord." For the first time was when Jesus said, "I must go and be crucified." And Peter said, "Not so, Lord. These things will never happen to you." In a very real sense, even Peter there was trying to thwart God's purposes of grace in the world, just as Jonah was. There is not one place, one action, or one plan that we can use or take or think about that we can come up with to actually pervert the way of the Lord, because He is going to accomplish all that He sets out to do. So the Lord is providing for us. He uses the rebellion of one single prophet to show His sovereign grace to undeserving sinners. The Lord uses this story of His grace to reveal His judgment, His holiness, and His judgment against sin in Nineveh, and even later in Jerusalem, as I mentioned, as Jesus said, "Because you will not repent when one who is greater is here who is preaching to you, the men of Nineveh who did repent, they are going to stand up in judgment against you." The Lord was using all of this, providing for the Jews an opportunity to repent. As Jesus said, "Look to the sign of Jonah and repent." And says to us also, "Look to the sign of Jonah. Look to Nineveh so they don't rise up in judgment against you, to those of you who will not repent." Jesus told His disciples that all authority in heaven and on earth had been given to Him. That's the same message that God was saying to Jonah when He said to Jonah, "Rise up and go to Nineveh." The Lord doesn't have to explain His authority. He just speaks based on His authority. He just speaks, and He is speaking authority. And so the Lord is providing for us here a message to us as well. This is a discipleship lesson for us Christians. We as Christians are under the lordship and authority of Jesus Christ. There is no Christian who is without that authority. There is no unbeliever who is not under the authority of the lordship of Jesus Christ. If that was the case, then He's not Lord. He's just Lord over a certain region, over certain people. But He is Lord of all the earth. And so this lesson for us as Christian disciples is to not say, "Not me, Lord," under any circumstances, like Jonah and Peter first did. But we must be like another prophet. We must say like Isaiah did in Isaiah chapter 6 that we read earlier, when the Lord said in verse 8, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" Isaiah did not say, "Not me, Lord." Isaiah said, "Here am I, send me." Jonah's response was one of perversion. Really telling the Lord, "You don't have authority over me, so I'll just leave your presence. Here am I," a humble response of faith and submission to the Lord's power and authority. And of course, Jesus Christ is the ultimate example of that, saying that He came to do the will of the Father. And in Philippians, we read that He became obedient, an obedient servant to the point of death, even on the cross. And so the question is then, what is our response to the commands of the Lord? Now, this does include His call upon us to declare the gospel to Ninevites and Colombians, to the nations, to be involved in all of that. But that's just one practical application of the Lord's authority over our life. That's what we're reading about here in Jonah. But this story of Jonah is really a particular call to submit to God's authority over all of your life. My exhortation to you this afternoon is very simple with this question. Is there one area of your life where the Lord is not in authority? Where you are seeking to prevent Him from being authority and authority, the authority in your life? See, this is just really one area of Jonah's life, maybe. It involves a lot of things, but he was saying, Lord, when it comes to this, when it comes to going to this heathen nation, when it comes to taking your country of Israel, you're not the authority in my life. I'm leaving. As if by leaving, I can prove to you you're not my authority. And so the Lord has given us and provided for us Jonah, that we will not follow in his footsteps here, but that we will follow in the footsteps of Christ, who is greater than Jonah, and that we will follow his every word, seeking to do his will in every part of our life. When we say Jesus is Lord, that's what that means. Even Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he humbly asked if there was any other way for this salvation of man to be accomplished, for God's glory to be accomplished, rather by God being made sin, what did he say? Not my will, but thy will be done. So Jonah is God's provision to us to lead us in that same path. Total submission to the Word, to the will, and to the way of the Lord. Jonah said, not me, Lord. Peter said, not so, Lord. I send me. And Jesus said, not my will, but thy will be done. The question is, what will you say to the Lord and His Word? And the only acceptable answer is, yes, Lord. In every facet of your life. Of course, you can only do this by God's power and grace and mercy, and so you should be praying for that. Lord, help me to say yes and to do yes. To humbly submit myself to your authority over my life, to your authority over all the world and every part of it. And may the Lord use Jonah's perversion to point us to Christ, who is humbly submitted to God, even to death upon the cross. And in this calls us to see Him as Lord over all things, and to do the same as Jesus, to take up our cross and follow Him. That's what this call is in Jonah chapter 1, verse 3. What will you say to the Lord? Not so, Lord. Not me, Lord. Or yes, Lord. Here I am. Let us pray. Father God in heaven, we do know, Lord, that it is our sinful nature and the sin that dwells within us that still tempts us and leads us to say, not me, Lord. We pray that you would forgive us when we have done that. And we pray, Lord, that you would show us now and future by your Holy Spirit and your Word where we are actually saying, not so, Lord. And there are things in our life, Lord, that we don't even recognize that we are doing at this moment that are a manifestation of not recognizing your Lordship in our lives. And so we ask, Lord, that you would reveal those things to us. I don't know what they are for these, your people. I don't even recognize them at times in my own life. But we do ask, Lord, that you by your Spirit and your Word would cause us to be like Isaiah, and to anything that you call us to do, say, here am I, send me, just as Jesus did.